Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, so that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now the birth of Jesus was in Bethlehem, and it was followed, possibly as late as 2 years later, by a visit paid to Christ by the wise men. Now we do not know with certainty how long after his birth they came, nor do we know the number of them that did come. Now it has been often concluded that there were three wise men, but this is determined because three gifts are mentioned. We can only be certain that there were more than two, or at least two. They are said to be wise men. Now, in what ways were they wise? Are we as wise as they proved themselves to be? Surely the Holy Spirit did not use the term wise loosely and without meaning. Their wisdom may well have been of a worldly wisdom, but even so, we cannot escape being impressed with the wisdom they manifested surrounding their visit to Christ. We must remember, however, that worldly wisdom is not necessarily wisdom in the sight of God. Man's worldly wisdom often proves to be his downfall. Jeremiah 9:23-24, Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Man's relationship with God, friend, determines the boundaries of his wisdom. And there is a wisdom that descendeth, James 3 and verse 15. It's earthly and sensual and devilish. It takes one downward. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 19 through 21, For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is evident that what man sometimes considers wisdom is not always what God considers wisdom. Who is really a wise person? James 3 and verse 13, Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and fear. A man's manner of life determines whether he is wise or unwise. The men of Matthew chapter 2 proved themselves wise by what they did. These are at least 8 marks of wisdom that we can find about these men, and we want to mention them briefly. But we mention them in order to raise this question before us. Are we as wise as they? First, they were wise because they were interested in Christ. Having heard of him sufficiently to inquire of him, they came to visit. We are also wise to show an interest in Christ. How tragic that some manifest no interest in the Son of God. He is our hope of glory, Colossians 1 and verse 27. He alone has the words of eternal life, John 6 and verse 68. He is the way to the Father, John 14, 6. What a wonder that all are not concerned with the means of salvation and forgiveness and spiritual success and the life beyond this one. And secondly, they were wise in that they made a search for Christ. Now this took effort on their part. Some may have a passing interest about Christ, but not sufficiently to search for him. The Lord taught that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls. Matthew 13:45. Would he ever have found the goodly pearl, the pearl of great price, if he had not sought for it? Luke 13, verse 24, speaks of striving to enter in at the straight gate. And the word strive is akin to our word agonize, which implies effort, even with difficulty, if necessary, to accomplish entrance. No, they were wise because they made the effort. Third, they were wise because they did not let someone else do their searching for them. Now, Herod sought the child, although his motives for doing so were sinister, but he probably could have succeeded if he had not depended upon the wise men to do his searching for him. Today, too many are willing to let others search for Christ in their stead. They look to their parents, to their husband or their wife, their child, their preacher, anybody. And while we surely can and should assist one another in every way that we can to come to a knowledge of Christ, there are those things where every man shall bear his own burden. Nobody can be saved for you, friend, and nobody will be lost for you, and nobody can do the work of searching and learning the truth without each one showing cognizance of his personal responsibility in this matter. The wise men did not make this mistake. They showed wisdom. The fact is, we simply cannot trust in men, but only in the Lord. Even those people we love and trust cannot be our ultimate standard. It is possible for people to be misled. 1 John 4 and verse 1, we've often read it and we've often heard it. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The men of Berea were called noble because they searched the scriptures daily to learn what was so, Acts 17 and verse 11. And we are taught to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Jesus warned about the blind leading the blind and both of them falling into the pit, Matthew 15:14. Did not the foolish virgins depend too much on others in Matthew chapter 25? And inasmuch as each shall stand before the seat of judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, each should personally be concerned with learning the truth for themselves. But fourth, these wise men did not only their own searching, but they were wise in that they were not too proud to ask for assistance and guidance when they needed it. They did not possess the know-it-all attitude. Like the Ethiopian who was reading from Isaiah when Philip asked if he understood what he was reading, he responded, "How can I except some man guide me?" Acts 8 and verse 31. He forthwith invited Philip into the chariot and allowed himself to be taught. Did not Apollos act wisely to permit Aquila and Priscilla to teach him the way of the Lord more perfectly? Acts 18 and verse 26. Many other preachers might have had the attitude that others could not really teach them anything. Even though this man was mighty in the scriptures and eloquent, he was willing to accept guidance from others. Friend, we are doomed to ignorance when we can conclude that we cannot learn any more than what we already know. Now, this does not mean that what we already know is necessarily incorrect. It means that there is always room for growth in knowledge, and others sometimes can help us. And those that help us, they are not our authority, they are merely helping us. The mark of an educated man is the realization that he doesn't know everything, even though some with the highest academic degrees act like they think they know everything. But these men in our text, the men from the East, they were wise to make inquiry, even if it was from Herod, to learn the whereabouts of the one that they sought. And fifth, they followed the light that God provided. First it was the star in the heavens, then the light afforded them from the prophets who had foretold of the one to be born in Bethlehem. God has also given us light to guide our feet in this life toward heaven. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Psalm 119, verse 105. We have the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, all-sufficient Scripture to serve as our guide, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And the sixth mark of their wisdom was, they were willing to pay whatever price to find the Christ. From wherever they came, they knew not what it would require of them to succeed, nor how long it would take. But they obviously committed themselves to the task. They had a goal, and they were dedicated to it. What is the cost of discipleship? Luke 9 and verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus said we're to forsake all that we have, Matthew 19:27, meaning that nothing can come first before him. We cannot serve him with reservation. Christ gave his all. Can we be expected to do less? We're to be living sacrifices, Romans 12 and verse 1. Is it loyal service to follow his will only when it's convenient? Only when it fits our own plans and will? Only when we think it does not demand too much of us? Are we like the man who said he would follow Jesus as long as Jesus went with the crowd? But there was a seventh reason why these men were wise. They were wise in that they never stopped until they found the child. Obstacles they encountered, but they did not quit. Today we may meet obstacles in our desire to be faithful servants of God. These things can even come from people close to us, even family and friends and job, and may demand changes of habits and associations and attitudes. It does demand putting away the old man of sin and putting on the new man of righteousness. Jesus spoke of some who were not far from the kingdom, but they were not yet in the kingdom. The rich young ruler asked what to do to be saved, but went away sorrowful because, though ever so near, he would not put the Lord before his wealth. But the wise men did not allow any obstacle to cause them to turn away. They kept on keeping on in spite of the fact that the road was not always easy and smooth. And their gifts were not leftovers. Frankincense, myrrh, and gold were riches. They knew the Christ deserved the best. The Macedonian Christians gave even in their poverty because they first gave of themselves, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3. Giving to the Lord is a display of wisdom, as well as love and sincerity. These men who came from the East were wise because, one, they were interested in Christ. Two, they searched for Christ. Three, they searched for Christ for themselves. Four, they sought assistance when they needed it. And five, they followed the light the Lord provided. And six, they were willing to pay the price, whatever it took. And seventh, they would not quit, but they stayed with the task. And eight, they worshiped him. Yes, they were wise men. They were wise in all of these respects. Friend, are we as wise as they? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.